right, gentlemen. Defense, defense, defense. Can the Falcons fix this issue? Is it the Jimmys and Joes or is it the X's and O's,
well,
my friends?
I think it depends on which part you're talking about.
Well,
because
defending against the run, what are quarterbacks completing 72% of their passes against them as well?
Well, part of that's the fact that you play 7 yards off the ball. Your DBs play off, and that's part of the reason why you're not getting home with sacks, I think, is because you've played.
Well, that's Jimmy Lake's scheme. I mean,
but I was going to say, it's also the reason you've been one of the best in the NFL at limiting explosive plays.
Exactly.
Until last week.
It's got to all come together.
Right,
right.
Right.
If I said today that Baker Mayfield is going to go 18 of 24 again for 106, I think it was 180 yards, would you take it?
Well, it depends, because they do have a three-headed monster in their backfield.
Yeah,
so,
they
says
do.
Raheem Morris.
But they, I agree with him.
They started the season with their starter in one. He's really done a nice job. Ended up getting injured. They really had their young guy, number 7, going out there, really being productive. And he started off as a gimmick guy. Then he moved to a running back. Then he moved to an explosive guy. He had some really good plays against us. And then they really got open a couple weeks ago when they had some injuries. And 44 stepped out there, really opened this game as a kickoff returner versus us. Then they opened up with a really big game versus New Orleans a couple weeks ago. And he's done nothing but be productive for those guys. So when you look at those guys, have a chance to get out there in their run game and really open it up with a bunch of guys that we know. I know Carb does a great job with those guys in the run game and their upfront people. They've really been productive in running the football the last couple of weeks, which I know was something that wasn't perceived strength for those guys in the beginning, which has become that.
I just love the fact, number 44, I'm like, who? A running back? Number 44?
He's stripping them of their humanity. They're just a number. We're all just numbers. We're all just livestock on this mortal coil.
I'm here for it. Number 44, the running back. Number 44. You're like, yes.
Dude, Robert Newhouse.
You just know that guy runs hard. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even have to watch tape to know that he runs hard with the football.
Well, I guess that's good for Tampa Bay with Godwin and Mike Evans out. At least you can kind of pivot to their run game, focus on that. This is going to be a drastically different looking game than what we saw a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think both teams are going to try to run the football because I think they did it well last time, and they know they need to.
Yep.
Raheem told Mike and Carl yesterday, he said, look, there were holes there we exploited last time. I don't think Todd will allow that to happen again. I think Todd will take that away. So I think you might go in here looking to see if they're trying to take away the pass game. If they are, I think you're going to try to run it down your throat with your two-headed monster. To that point, though, we have been better against the run the last 2 weeks. And in fact, last week, Seattle wanted to run the ball against you.
They did on their first drive, though.
They did, and then you shut it down after that.
They're one-dimensional outside of that.
But that's great. But they ran the ball 20-something times. They tried to run the ball, is my point, and they couldn't. And other than the one drive that A.J. picks off Andy Dalton against Carolina, they tried to run the ball, and they didn't really do it other than one drive. To me, that shows growth.
Yeah, I would be curious to see, just from a defensive standpoint, how many people were willing to commit to the blitz if we can find them in obvious passing downs. And what I mean by that is we have become so good at coverage and so good at tackling, it feels like, by some of our DBs. Now, I know a lot of people look at DK Metcalf last week and they're like, man, how could we let that happen? Like, okay, he had 4 catches. I know they were explosives, but he had 4 catches. You know, there's some thought out there about A.J. Terrell and, you know, his game the last couple of weeks. I get it. There's been a couple of issues. But my point being is that if you don't feel like that this is the receiver group that can give them explosives, all right, then maybe you trust your DBs a little more to make those one-on-one tackles if they're able to complete it and commit an extra guy to some of these blitz packages that you have and say, hey, we're going to bring one more than you can block. We're going to force Baker to get it out of his hands, all right, which means he has to throw it probably in front of the sticks. And we trust our guys to make those tackles in front of the first down marker. So, I'll be honest. I have looked at our pass rush front, backwards, sideways, whatever it is, and I don't see it right now. And so my thought is that they're just going to have to continue to draw up ways in the sand to be able to get home because Judon's not getting there. Arnold Ebukadi is good.
Well,
as I think
he's being held
played.
Every play though, isn't he?
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, he.
I'm the last person you want to ask about that. Don't ask a lineman if the guy's being
held. How dare you, sir?
The problem for me is Judon is doing kind of what you would. He is doing kind of his job. He's getting held at times. He's also getting double teamed at times. And when that happens, that Ebikadi is winning, but he's not getting home. He overran a play, the touchdown pass to Kenneth Walker. Ebikadi wins, but he overran the play. And Geno stepped up and into a little gap and threw the football for the touchdown. Also, Rob, Mike, and I touched on this yesterday. If Troy Anderson comes back this week, I rotate Caden Ellis and Ebikadi and that other edge rusher spot and leave just Troy and Nate Lamon in the middle of the play.
Well, I don't agree with that necessarily because and Raheem talked about this. Arnold Ebikadi has played well. It's just that you don't see the things that you want him that we want him to do, right? I mean, he's played well. When you look at some of the stunts, he folds back in well. He's getting pressures well. He's doing some of his other things well. It's just that we don't see him getting sacked, so we don't think he plays well. I'm concerned to take out a guy that we think is playing decently, that Raheem has already talked about, PFF grade, whatever Raheem wanted to say, and to put somebody in a position they're not comfortable with because they might have more sacks. I don't necessarily think that correlates.
I'm not saying bench him. What I'm saying is when he comes out, he played 50% of the defensive snaps last week.
He had to.
Which is, to me, the perfect. And he played two less snaps than Matthew Judon. That's a good. I have no issue with that number. What I'm saying, though, is when he comes out, move Caden over. So that other 50% that Arnold's not getting off at edge, let's see what Caden can do. Because when you run those, Caden Ellis does a really good job of the integrity of his passing lanes, the rush lanes. He stays in those. He doesn't ad lib. He does exactly what you ask him to do. That's the only reason why when we see breakdowns at times in those pass rush lanes, if he stays in it when he's on the field in that situation. Could that equal a sack or two more?
Play comes to him, basically, just because he stays at home.
Well, and to Rob's earlier point, I think the conversation is, can you get them in obvious passing downs to kind of unleash a Caden Ellis in that? Because I do think differently. To me, the value that Caden Ellis would hold, if we're going to put a Nate Lamon, Troy Anderson package at linebacker, to me, the value that Caden Ellis would hold would be to take out one of the interior guys and walk him up and, say, the B-gap and run pick stunts with him and Arnold Ebikadi on the same side. To me, there's a lot of value in that. The problem is, in order to do that and take out one of the bigs, you have to be in, like, third and six plus, right? And I don't know how the game plan will play out with the way that they know they have to play and with a vastly improved offensive line that they have and the three-headed attack at running back. I don't know that we'll find them in many situations like that. So we're going to have to keep the extra defensive tackles in. You're going to have to hope that David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett and company can run some of these stunts and get home.
Well, Justin Simmons is a guy that we've watched on film that when he comes in the box, he's very good at playing in the box, okay? He's physical down there. He's not afraid to put you on the ground. So maybe do you sneak him down in some situations where you look at the right personnel, you see a personnel matchup that they've come on the field with, and you say, all right, Justin, get down, you know, you call him in that box and you let him eat.
Yeah. I don't, and the thing is, all the situations we're talking about, scenarios, they're all going to play out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not something where we're going to look at and say, well, you know, the theme of the day is going to be to do this. They have to be able to do all of it, and they have to keep Liam Cohen, the Tampa Bay offensive coordinator, they have to keep him guessing. Because if they continue to go to some of the same things we're talking about, they'll just pick them apart. And it'll be much easier on them if they can kind of line up what we're going to do every third down.
This could be a 2.5-hour game on Sunday.
Well, I'm all for a 2.5-hour game because that means I get home early and hopefully sipping on some.
That means somebody was running a pill.
Victory whiskey.